evening. Greetings to one and all. May the Lord be honored in all that we do and say tonight. Let's begin the evening with some singing. Spurgeon said, "God is everywhere. His circumference is nowhere, but his center is everywhere." Tonight, as I thought about the man that John is going to be speaking about, Hudson Taylor, I had to think about not just his life, but many other people's lives who dedicated their lives to this kind of a service and the difficulties that they faced. And that line in the last song we sang about, it's not all ease. And a lot of people who dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord, really experienced some really difficult times where they may have questioned why God has brought them in this place. There's a few people, two people, that I want to just briefly look at in the Old Testament. They're both very familiar, but I was reminded today as I thought of the issue of maybe difficulty, was a man, only three chapters in the Bible, I believe, that his name is mentioned, but it's in Judges 6, 7, and 8, and it's about Gideon, and how that Gideon was met by an angel, and he laments in Judges 6, 13, he says, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And you know the very familiar story. It goes on, and God, he gets his army together, and then God tells him, "Well, you've got way too many men." And that's not really what you think of when you think of winning a contest, is having too many men. But that was Gideon's experience, and we know the rest of the story. Things went just well when he was in the center of God's will. The second person, just briefly, is well known, and it has to do with Job. And the first few verses of the chapter have the conversation in between him and the great I Am, and about Job. And we know how just midway through chapter 1, things really just start going to pieces for Job. And yet, after all these bad reports have come to Job, Job, God's servant, in verse 20 it says, "Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22 says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Job did not attribute the issues to God. And yet I got to believe that in certain times, and we know right at this time that Job's health had not yet failed him, there were some more things to come. And yet we know that Job, despite his wife's urging to do wrong, he did not do wrong. And as difficult as it is sometimes to follow God's path, we still have to remember that we do desire to be in his center. Let us not seek his circumference, because it is nowhere. But let's remember that his center is everywhere. What are your prayer requests this evening? Anything else? If not, we'll give our attention to John, and he will be speaking to us about the adventures of Hudson Taylor.
Good evening. Lessons from the life of Hudson Taylor. A lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you this evening, I got mostly from two books. One written by Hudson Taylor's oldest son, Howard Taylor, and his wife. Then the other book, written by Janet and Jeff Benji. I have decided to divide this in three parts. The first one, his childhood and preparation for China. The second one, his time in China. And then the last part of the evening, I would like to talk about lessons we can learn from his life. So be thinking about that, and as I share some of this, and maybe later we can hear from you. I would like to say, as a way of introduction, that I believe that it is more important what God did through Hudson Taylor than what Hudson Taylor did for God. What I mean by that is that we are only channels that God can use. It is His work, but He has allowed us to be part of His kingdom. Hudson Taylor was born May 21st, 1832, in England. And like we said already, he was a missionary to China. Few men have been the instrument in God's hands for proclaiming the gospel to such a vast population. An achievement of this magnitude makes us ask the question, what kind of a man was he? I would like to suggest that he was an ordinary man that had faith and complete trust in a great God. Something that I found interesting is that Hudson Taylor's parents dedicated him to God before he was born. They often had visitors in their home and learned about mission work in other countries. Hudson's father had a special interest in the work in China and wished more missionaries would go there. Hudson Taylor made up his mind to go to China as a missionary when he was a young boy. He reread and reread a little book about China until he knew it almost by heart. He was very sick as a child, however. He could only attend school for a short time because he was so often ill. It seemed unlikely he would ever be able to go to China because of his health. He did most of his schoolwork at home and helped his father in his pharmacy. He had a happy childhood. At age 17, Hudson went through a rebellious time of his life. Some friends were a bad influence, and he was very unhappy. His parents were very concerned. His father tried to help him, but found it hard to be patient with him. His mother understood him better and prayed a lot for him. His sister, just younger than him, was very close to him and prayed for him fervently. She determined to pray for him 3 times every day until he was converted. His mother was away on a brief trip during that time. One afternoon, she felt an intense longing for the conversion of her only son. She went to her room and resolved not to leave the spot until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour, the dear mother pleaded until she felt peace that her son had been converted. Meanwhile, at home, Hudson Taylor had a free afternoon off from work. He was in his father's study and picked up one of his father's gospel tracts. While reading it, a light was flashed into his soul by the Holy Spirit, and he fell on his knees and accepted Christ as his Savior. It made such an impression and impact on Hudson Taylor that both his mother and sister were praying for his salvation. Later he said, "You will agree with me that it would be strange indeed if I were not a believer in the power of prayer." He now dedicated his whole life to God. He put his all upon the altar His early years of training at home were a big help as he started his Christian life. Now, every Sunday evening, he and his sister went to the poorest parts of town and handed out tracts. During this first year after his conversion, he had some intense struggles. Once, as he was spending time alone with God and giving his all to God again, a voice seemed to say to him, "Then go for me to China." His mother said, from that hour, his mind was made up. Whatever might be involved, the future held but one thing for him: to do his master's will in and for China. So he began at once to pray for guidance and to learn all that he could about his future, but about his future field. He studied the Chinese language all he could. He studied the Chinese language. All he could find was a copy of the Gospel of Luke in Chinese. This was a treasure indeed. He studied and studied, trying to learn as much Chinese as he could. He got rid of many comforts as he could. He got rid of his feather bed and slept on his hard, on the hard plywood. He lived and ate simply to prepare for a rougher sort of life. He prayed and led others to pray with him for China. He thought it would be valuable to have medical knowledge on the field, so he went to another town to work under a doctor. He was quick and eager to learn. During this time, he rented a small apartment in the slums to save money for China and have more time alone for prayer and outreach. He handed out tracts and shared his faith. The unsaved at home were just as much a burden on his heart as the unsaved in China. Always, everywhere, he was a soul winner. At age 20, he went to London for further medical study. Hudson began to feel that he should go to China, but how? He prayed very earnestly for guidance, longing with all his heart to know and to do the will of God. He then decided to quit his medical training and seek a way to go to China. In September 1853, at age 21, Hudson set sail for China. He was sent by the Chinese Evangelization Society. This was a new mission, and Hudson went alone, the first missionary sent by them to China. It took 5.5 months to get there. They had some bad storms at sea and were almost shipwrecked a couple of times. I might just say that before they got to China, they were in a sail ship, and the wind was very calm, and the captain told his crew, he said that we have done all we can, and so now we have to wait. It was pulling them towards some rocks, and so they were worried. Hudson Taylor thought maybe this was it, but he asked the captain if they have done all they could. He said yes, and he said, "Well, there's one thing we haven't done," and he said, "There's four of us that are Christians, and we like to pray." So he went down to his room or his cabin and prayed. And a couple minutes later, the wind picked up and they were on their way. And that's just one of the many, many times that God intervened for him. And he was saved. Upon arriving in China, then, he found that a bloody civil war was raging. Prices of food and rent were very high. There were many houses available to rent. The Chinese Evangelization Society sent him to start a mission, but he didn't know anyone there. He had three letters of introduction from acquaintance in England that was to help him get started. But the first two contacts were no longer in China. One had died, and the other one had left. The third contact was a doctor. Hudson found him and was able to stay with his mission and in their compound. He had no money, and his mission failed to send any for a while. So he was in China with no money, no direction from his mission board, and the dangers and ugliness of war was all around him. He felt badly, needing to depend on strangers for room and board. But while he waited for instructions and funds, he began working hard on the language and helped his new doctor friend at his hospital. Because of the war, Hudson was not able to venture far. He stayed mostly in the missionary compounds, and here he felt very lonely and misunderstood, even scorned. Many other missionaries thought the mission society that sent him was a joke, and he himself poorly qualified. He was not a doctor nor a ordained minister. Meanwhile, he needed to depend on them until money came for him. Once he did receive funds, it was barely enough to cover expenses with a high cost because of war. The communication with the board was never good. Then he learned they had sent a doctor and his young family. He didn't know how he would prepare for them. It was a very stressful time. But with God's help and much prayer and trusting God, Hudson Taylor and the doctor and family were able to start a hospital. They also made trips into the interior of China with other missionaries. It was a rocky beginning, and they needed to do most things on their own. As Hudson learned the language, he began preaching and handing out tracts, Bibles. One big problem: the Chinese were not used to foreigners and were scared of him. After he had been in China for 1 year, he decided to start wearing Chinese clothes and dye his hair black. He also had a Chinese haircut and had the front half of his head shaved, as the Chinese man did. The other missionaries in China were very critical of this step. They wanted to civilize the Chinese, not look like them. But it was a wonderful change for Hudson. He was now one of them. He could blend in much easier and travel inland much easier. He and other men traveled and took medical supplies, tracts, and Bibles with him. He had many hardships, but trusted in God and continued pressing on. Once a fire destroyed all his medical supplies, he also experienced much sickness. A bright spot in this first year was meeting Maria Dyer, a single girl who was working at a mission orphanage. Since Hudson was criticized harshly by many other missionaries, many of them advised Maria not to marry him. Her parents had both died as missionaries, so Hudson asked a stepfather if he could ask for Maria's hand in marriage. He gave his approval, and Hudson and Maria were married almost 4 years after Hudson's arrival in China. Hudson and Maria were soulmates and loved each other deeply. They were a great team in teaching the Chinese people Christ's love. As Hudson was no longer lonely, they worked together to establish churches and schools and medical clinics. The doctor who was sent to help Hudson in the beginning left China after his wife died. The hospital was left to Hudson and Maria. The doctor had been able to run the hospital with the money he received from treating foreign patients. Since husband was not a certified doctor, he could not do this. He and Maria in the church started fasting and praying about this. And it became a faith project for them. God supplied the funds a little at a time to keep the hospital open. Many miracles strengthened their faith. At age 28, Hudson became very sick with tuberculosis. After being in China for 6 years, he needed to return to England to recuperate. He was told he would die in a matter of months if he did not go. Reluctantly, he went, but it was very hard for him. There was still so much to do for God in China. Hudson, Maria, and one-year-old Grace started on the voyage back to England, where he had a wonderful reunion with his family. His illness was very serious, and he told it would take many years to recover. But he did not want to remain inactive. Although he may have left China, China had not left him. It was continually on his mind. He bought a huge map of China and pinned it on his wall. He prayed continually for China. He and Maria rented a house close to the London hospital for his treatments. When able to attend classes there and also finish his medical training, also with the help of a Chinese friend and another missionary, he translated the New Testament into a Chinese dialect. He and Maria had 3 sons born to them in England. During this 4-year period of recuperation, Hudson received no wages. They rely on God to meet their daily needs, and he did. There was always enough money for food and rent. Hudson had a burden that missionaries be sent to all 11 provinces of China. He prayed and approached the mission societies in England about this burden. But because of funds, workers' shortage, and all the dangers in China, he had no success. He prayed again and again, "Why isn't someone doing something?" Slowly, his question changed to, "Why am I not doing something? But how?" He became very stressed over it. He and Maria could start a mission in the heart of China, but he did not want the responsibility for other people's lives. But God showed him that as he obeyed and others did, that responsibility of what happened to them all rested with God and not Hudson Taylor. With renewed strength and health, he moved forward with plans for what became China Inland Mission. As they prayed, money and workers flooded in. In May 1866, Hudson, Maria, their 4 children, and the first group of 16 missionaries left for China. It was a good team. God blessed their voyage and protected them. After arriving in China, God provided for their needs over and over again. A hospital was opened, operated by Dr. Hudson Taylor in China Inland Mission. The Taylors were not free from hard times. Their oldest daughter, Grace, died, and later, one of their sons. A terrible sorrow for them. They sent their 3 oldest children back to England shortly later to finish their schooling. While there, he remarried and they returned to China together. When Hudson was 72 and taking a leave because of poor health, his second wife died of cancer. China was still in his heart. He returned there one last time, a year after his second wife died. He had arrived in China 52 years earlier, a 21-year-old with no money, no wife, no plan. Yet he had trusted God, and God had used him. Now, over 18 Chinese Christians had been baptized, and Christian Inland Mission had 825 missionaries. On June 3, 1905, still in China, Hudson died quietly in his bed. He was buried in China beside his Maria and his three children who had died there. His tombstone read, "Hudson Taylor, a man in Christ." So what do you think now, going to the last part of the evening? What are some lessons that we can learn from him? Yeah, I think it's good, because sometimes I think my parents would, we would tend to worry about things, and maybe instead of doing that, we had to pray. Amos? Yeah, I think that's good. I think sometimes we go to other countries and we try to maybe change the way they're doing things, and not sure how that important that is. That's not really our job, and yeah. Nathan? Go ahead, Jim. That's what I have, one of the things I have written down too, in extreme difficult circumstances. He kept going. I was just challenged, you know, reading his story. He didn't give up. It seemed like if it would have been me, I would have felt like giving up. It would have been easier to give up than to keep going. But he had such a heart for those people, I guess, that he wanted to share with them Christ. He was focused. That's right. I wrote down a couple things here. I think he had a calling from God, but I didn't get the idea that he looked down on other people. And I think it's something that maybe sometimes, you know, we feel like we have a calling and we know what God wants us to do, but I don't think we have to look down on others that are still trying to figure out what God wants for their lives. I think another thing, he took time for his family. I think a lot of great men in the Bible, they were godly men. I think of Eli and Samuel and David. They were outstanding, but I think they neglected their family. I think I guess they were just so focused in what they were doing. But I don't think if I got this right, I don't think that Hudson Taylor did that. And another thing, he gave it all that he had. He didn't hold anything back. And I wonder sometimes, you know, about us, what's keeping us from giving it all to God? And maybe we're just scared of what he's going to ask of us to do. Does anybody else have anything to say? Go ahead, Julian. There's a lot we can say. I have just one more. And I suppose this one, maybe I should have hit at the top. And I feel like this is something that Hudson Taylor learned before he got to China. And he had to do many, many times. And that is to learn complete trust in God, something that I think every believer needs to do. So often I think we mess things up when we rely on our own strength. So my challenge to you and to myself is, let's learn to rely completely on God and let Him meet our needs. As I'll stand, dear God, thank you for being with us, and thank you, Lord, for the life of Hudson Taylor, and we just want to give you all the glory, because we know that we are only channels that you can use. And I pray that we would let you work through us, and that in those hard times that others could see you and they would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.